Now, Chapter 17, The Secrets of the Darkest Arts. Dark clouds streamed across the ceiling of the great hall. A clatter of plates and cutlery rumbled beneath in place of thunder. Harry folded Sirius's letter eight times. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He didn't fold it eight times. Get out of here. Like, that's technically possible to do, but like, yeah. you didn't. Okay, fair enough. It's funny. Harry folded Sirius's letter eight times, then tucked it under the edge of his plate. Okay. Okay, yeah, because I was gonna even if we're saying he didn't fold it in half every time, he can't then tuck it under a plate. Okay. I was gonna actually, I've been meaning to ask you, we're not there yet, but I wanted to ask you if you really did intend for the pendants, that the Harry Fleur BFF pendants, to be 3 inches to a side of a triangle. That's a big fucking pendant. Okay. Yeah. I was gonna say, like, it's like, I know I will. Like that's the size of like Yugi's Millennium Puzzle. You know, like that's a big fucking thing. Yeah, it's literally just it's literally just Yugi's Millennium Puzzle. Oh my God. Okay, here we go. Harry folded Sirius's letter. Harry folded Sirius's letter in half, then tucked it under the then tucked it under the Then tucked it under the edge of his plate. So, my invisibility cloak's a very old family heirloom. Harry stared up at the teacher's table. If it resists summoning charms, the revealing spell, and all the others Sirius listed, maybe it could have let me cross the age line. Dumbledore probably knows it can. That's why he'd think. That's why he thinks I did it. He pulled the. He pulled. Ah! He pulled the Marauder's map out of his pocket and scanned the swarm of names. Igor Karkaroff's not in the castle, and Professor Moody's still near. Igor Karkaroff's not in the castle, and Professor Moody's. Ah! Igor Karkaroff's not in the castle, and Professor Moody's still in his office, like always. Which leaves Snape, who's in. Which leaves Snape,
who's in his office as well, but I'm pretty sure Sirius only suggested him because he hates him. Harry folded the map over. Then another name appeared at the edge of the Quidditch pitch. Peter Pettigrew. He bounced his wand against his fingers. If I catch him, I can prove Sirius's innocence. The name vanished. Next time, perhaps. Next time, perhaps.
Harrikins! Harrikins!
The twins slid themselves onto the bench across from him.
Long time no see! Long time no see!
Looking at the starboard. Christ Jesus on the cross. So these will be in the rambles. I'm just going to read these off. This is the current starboard. Athena.
Ooh, Matt and I are teaming up. To teach sex ed.
Sakiko.
She breasted boobily.
And,
Darkness Enthroned. 3 inches is a lot. We should probably stop calling him that, Fred. I've been called worse. Harry tucked the letter out of sight. I suppose, the other, possibly George, said, he did survive the dragon. Shouldn't the two of you be over there? Harry nodded in the direction of Angelina, Alicia, and Katie.
No, Fred said. They're coming over here, George.
We told you this wouldn't last long if we could help it. Though it was Katie that did most of the persuading, Fred added. Harry watched the three Gryffindor girls approach and drew a calm face over the cocktail of feelings churning in his... He pictured the circle of blank ink on white paper and took a quiet, deep breath.
Angelina, Alicia, he smiled. Katie.
Harry, Katie squirmed. Nice to see you again. Nice to see you again. Angelina put her hands on her hips.
This is a massive bitch way to open this fucking communication from Angelina. Holy shit. That is... Wait. Say again, sorry. I said blank, and that's what it says in the text. Okay. Okay. He pictured the circle of blank ink is what you should CF there. Ha, CNF. That's a reference to something else. What do you say? Oh, of course, yeah.
Mrs. Pickup. He picked. He He pictured the circle of black ink on white paper and took a quiet, deep breath. End pickup. I was assured you'd hear me out, despite Hermione telling me otherwise. I promised somebody that I'd at least listen to you. I keep my promises. I keep my promises. She drummed her fingers on her hip. Then I'm sorry about what I did. You've represented both Gryffindor and Hogwarts as well as I could have. Regardless of whether you used an invisibility cloak to put your name into the goblet. No. Regardless of whether you used an invisibility cloak to put your name into the goblet. Regardless of whether you used an invisibility cloak to put your name into the goblet. You don't believe me, but have moved past your jealousy at not being chosen yourself. Harry cast a glance down the table at Hermione and Ron. An invisibility cloak isn't enough to cross an age line. I had someone in Ravenclaw tried it. Angelina's finger curled into her waist and turned white. No, it didn't.
No, it didn't. Are you sure? I don't think it's possible for a black person to, like, to clench their fingers so tight with it they turn white. Sure, yeah. Look, at least you don't mention Angelina's race every single time she fucking appears like Rowling does. Yeah, there you go. Not because it doesn't matter at all. I'm not really certain how possible it is to forget that Cho's Asian. Yeah, like, I mean, apparently, because of ACV, I was looking up, I was like, oh, I wonder who played the completely irrelevant Katie Bell in the movies. You know, maybe I can get a picture in my head. It didn't work. But, like, oh, and apparently Alicia Spinnett is Indian or something. Like, that's cool, but it's certainly an invention. Yeah, if you look at the actresses, yeah. I'm not sure if I don't think Angelina has any lines in the movies. She might do. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, UB40. What the yeah, I'm going to star that my day. Everyone star that shit. That's the weirdest fucking thing. Onto the board. Put it on the board. Yes. Oh yeah. So, UB40, as I have decided to call them, said,
Step Owl, what are you doing with that M-dash?
I'll say that even cleaner.
Step Owl, what are you doing with that M-dash?
There we go. No, it's not. If it was in Matt's voice, it would say,
Step Owl, what you doing with that M-dash?
That's what it would sound like if it was. Anyway.
Oh, the fuck was it? There we go. Angelina's finger curled into... Angelina's finger curled into her waist and turned pale. Angelina's finger curled into her waist and turned pale. I suppose that's a fair description.
This is... Man... Jesus, I forgot how not she apologizes. Like she, wow. That's like a fucking Fox News apology. That's nothing. Holy shit.
She'd do it again. Harry's thoughts welled up from the back of his mind in Riddle's voice. Forgive and forget, and you'll be betrayed next time, too. Then I'll tell you what I told the rest of you. I don't forgive you, and I won't forget what you did. But I do understand. Oh,
I see.
But I do understand why you did it well enough not to hold a grudge and perpetuate this affair. We're no longer friends. We're no longer friends if we ever were. Katie beamed. Katie beamed. A glitter of white teeth between pale pink lips. Her mahogany eyes glimmered beneath a scatter of loose dark hair.
That's too sensual.
Katie beamed. A glitter of white teeth beneath... A glitter of white teeth between pale pink lips. Her mahogany eyes glimmered beneath a scatter of loose dark hair. Thank you, Harry. I get the feeling you don't mean Katie, Alicia said. She was the one who convinced me to listen to you. Alicia smirked. I'm not very surprised Katie didn't go along with everything. I'm not very surprised Katie didn't go along with everything. Katie flushed and tugged at her little... Thank you for listening. She shot a glance at her friends, who stepped back and took a seat several meters down the table. I said I would. Harry eyed Katie's fingers. Her anxious fidgeting seeped into him. Do you want to go to Hawksby this weekend? Do you want to go to Hawksby at the weekend? She blurted. Who's going? Harry asked.
Me?
Kitty whispered.
Oh, a date.
Harry blinked.
A date with Katie?
She stared up at him with wide eyes, biting at her lower lip.
If you don't want to go, it's okay, she murmured.
She's cute and she's fun. Harry struggled for a reason to say no.
She seems to want to go with me, and I don't really have plans.
What time? He asked.
God in heaven, you really do the tease well. You really fucking do.
Katie grinned, a bright blush on her cheeks. Katie grinned, a bright blush on her cheeks.
11? I'm not much of a planner. We can figure out what to do when we get there.
What am I meant to do? Or where? Harry's stomach coiled. Harry's stomach coiled into a knot. Maybe I should have said no.
Sounds perfect.
He flashed her a smile. Katie's blush bypassed all remaining intermediate shades of red and skipped straight to crimson. She glanced back down the table to where Angelina and Alicia were giggling to each other, then bounced forward and wrapped her arms around them. A soft warmth enveloped him. Harry slid his arms back round her, breathing in the...
What? Oh, not them, him. Ah.
Harry slid his arms back round her, breathing in the scent of fresh-cut grass, broom polish, and cherries.
By the way, that... I know sometimes people like to sort of listen in for the craft of how this comes together. That was a prime example. I'm not saying my performance was a prime example, but that is a prime example of the way that the prose narration can be a character in an audiobook read. Because as originally I just said,
Harry slid his arms back around her, like it was matter of fact. And then I realized Harry's not entirely comfortable with this. Was it Harry slid his arms back around her?
You know, as to channel Harry's discomfort with it and his sort of reluctance. So there's that, that's sort of a thing.
"I'm sorry," she said, when she let go and stepped back. I've never asked anyone on a date before, and I sort of expected you to say no.
No. Oh, it should be more verbally.
I've never asked anyone on a date before, and I sort of expected you to say no.
Katie's words tumbled over one another into a happy burble.
"I need to get some food and go find Angelina and Alicia, and then there's classes."
She gave him a wave and a smile, then skipped to her friends.
Oh, Ginny's a sad one in this fic. I kind of liked the read where I happened to say theirs a little better, but there is definitely what the Brit would say there, I think. It's up there with the, like, you know, it's like, you know, say, like, "I have done" instead of "I have," you know, kind of thing. But no, man, Ginny gets the fucking shaft in this fic, which is fine. My God, though, I'm surprised you didn't have her, like, get eviscerated or something in the end. Yeah, what's up? No, I'm reading it from FFNet. I would never read it from the dock. Are you kidding me? I don't, things that make my computer run slower are not good for recording quality.
Hogsmeade with Katie Bell. Ginny spoke up from a pew. Ginny spoke up from a few places down the table. How long has she been there?
Yes.
I was going to ask you if you'd take me to the Yule Ball. Ginny's tone. I was going to ask you if you'd take me to the Yule Ball. Ginny's tone was bright. Nope.
I can't. I gotta read that line like it's actually fake happy.
I was going to ask you if you'd take me to the Yule Ball.
Ginny's tone was bright, but her smile trembled. But if you're going on dates with Katie, then you'll be going with her. I guess I will be. It would be a bit strange if I didn't ask her now.
I suppose I've missed my chance then.
Ginny's smile grew wider.
Sorry. I can go with Dean or with Michael. I'll enjoy myself with either of them.
Don't make any decisions with me in the back of your mind, Harry said. I like Katie.
That's a fucking lie.
Ah.
A sad, small smile crept onto Ginny. A sad, small smile crept onto Ginny's lips, and she blinked several times.
I hope you enjoy going with Katie, then.
I'm sorry. I'm not the boy you grew up dreaming about. I've never been the boy any of you grew up hearing about. I think I'm probably going to hate the Yule Ball, he murmured. Katie will make it bearable. That's a thought. Harry headed for the Chamber of Secrets. Salazar's very unlikely to cry, ask me on a date, or invite me to a ball. I certainly hope he doesn't, at least. Ron rose from his seat and stepped into his path.
Ron. Oh, Ron. Oh, Ron. You piece of shit. I love it because it's like, it's such a good... This is what Ron would be like. He is this childish... And, like, I've never been one that says that Ron's dumb, but he's dumb in this way. He's sufficiently emotionally dumb to do this right now. It's so stupid. It's like, this is one of the first interactions where, like, Ron is just completely in the fucking wrong in this. Like, there's no, you know, because you can make the argument before that it's like he legitimately thinks that Harry put his name in the goblet or whatever, like, you know, and he's mad about that and he's like overreacting, but fine. But here it's like he's just being fucking, like, what he's saying makes no fucking sense.
Okay. What the bloody hell did you say to my sister? Dean glowered past Ron's shoulder, fists and jaw clenched. Ginny did mention Dean. Did he ask her already? I told her something she knew I would, but hoped I wouldn't.
Was she not good enough for you?
Dean banged his gun. Dean banged his goblet on the table.
You thought it was all right to just toss her away?
No. You thought it was all right to just toss her away? Would you rather I lied to her? She'd just crush her and walk away? Ron's face turned puce. Does she mean nothing to you?
Oh, teenagers who act like teenagers. It happens so fucking rarely. It's like Alexandra Quick and this that have teenagers argue for the reasons that teenagers argue.
Better she understands now and has the chance to move on. Harry sighed. Seriously, Ron, the longer it goes on, the worse it is for her. I'm not going to magically change my feelings for her overnight. This is the right thing to do for her and me. Dean snorted. Something tells me you're more concerned about yourself, mate. Ron snarled. If you hurt her, you'll do what?
Harry let his wand slip into his hand. It's not your place to decide things for Jenny. It's not your place to decide things for Jenny. But if you want to play it being the protective older brother, you can start by asking Dean what his intentions were in asking her to the Yule Ball. Ron swiveled to stare at Dean. I was going to tell you if she said yes, Dean said, but you wanted time to think about it, obviously because you wanted to go with him. Ron chewed that over, clenching and unclenching his fists. It's all right. I'll trust you, Dean. But if you upset her, same bloody rules apply. You'll have me and all her older brothers to explain yourself to. He glared at Harry. You've already hurt her, you arrogant prat, and you'll pay for it. Threatening me, Ron, isn't a good idea. If you were smarter, you'd know that. Harry tapped it. No. If you were smarter, you'd know that. Harry tapped his wand against his palm. You think you scare me? More than a dragon? A basilisk? Voldemort? Ron flinched. Exactly. Exactly. Harry slid his wand back into his sleeve. If you can't even say a silly made-up name, you might as well get the hell out of... You might as well get the hell out of my way. He brushed through the pair of them and headed for the chamber.
You know what, maybe I should close the Google Doc, because it might be legitimately draining resources. Probably is busy because I'm stupid and I'm using Google fucking Chrome. Is it deliberate, Matt, that, like, and I don't ever see the thing from you that some authors use where it's like, it'll be like a line in the middle of, it's like a return, but more so like a section break or whatever, where you have a line in the middle of the page or whatever to denote different sections. It's interesting that the transitions to the chamber are like you know, it'll be in the middle of Harry talking to somebody. He'll say, then he left and went to the chamber. And the next sentence is like Salazar saying something. It's very interesting because it shows how much in his mind he's already in the chamber at any given moment. I think it works very well, and I was wondering if it's deliberate. Yeah. It would literally J cut in like a movie. It would J, which that's what you call it when the sound cuts before the video does. So it's like you would hear Salazar saying something while you're still seeing Harry standing next to Ron and Dean or whatever, and then you know, yeah, it works very well. He's wearing a shirt that says, like, I'd rather be chambering, you know, like, all the time. Chamberpot! Oh my god! Ha ha! Chamberpot! Oh, yes. Oh, that's amazing. Okay, I'm gonna keep reading.
Did you read all the books? Salazar asked as Harry carried him over the bridge. I did. Harry staggered to the side of the chamber and leant the picture against the wall. More than once, as some took a few tries to wrap my head round. You understand the principles, then? Salazar asked. How blood magic, sacrificial magic, and rituals all fit together. I understand the principles, but... I understand the principles, but not how you would decide on an appropriate sacrifice. That comes from understanding yourself and what you're after. Was there anything in the books that caught your eye? Was there anything in the books that caught your eye? Yes. Harry opened the secrets of the darkest arts. There are over 100 pieces of parchment covered in Tom Riddle's handwriting stuffed in this. There are over 100 pieces of parchment covered in Tom Riddle's handwriting stuffed in this book. I found it curious he'd devoted so much effort to the subject, but it wasn't part of my reading. Salazar frowned down at the book. Tom, like yourself, found he took well to certain areas of magic and pursued them single-mindedly. Harry tapped the tome. Do you know what a Horcrux is? Salazar nodded. It's a branch of soul magic. It anchors a person to the world when they would otherwise die. A dangerous, double-edged piece of magic, I would imagine.
Oh, good, I get to do this.
I was less than the meanest ghost, but I was alive.
Harry recalled Voldemort's words in their first meeting. That's how he survived. Tom Riddle created one, he said.
Whatever he made into a Horcrux is anchoring him here, Salazar said. It would have to be destroyed. It would have to be destroyed before Riddle can be killed.
How can I find it? Salazar stroked his chin with one hand and the head of his snake with the other.
These items will be very dangerous, even if they're only magically protected by the Creator. I would suspect this soul fragment could affect any magical living thing that interacts with it, in all manner of ways.
Harry's eye drifted to the clean patch of stone near the maw of the basilisk's corpse. All manner of ways, huh? Like showing memories, absorbing life, and casting magic. Could it possess someone?
Yeah, I've told the story a few times, but,
before I was doing this voice for Slytherin, if you continue listening to the Ruffler thing, you'll hear him like this in the first, like, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 chapters he appears in.
And that's what we called Lancashire Slytherin, and me and Matt fell in love with it, because it was leaning heavily on Salazar's persona as a cranky old man. And Dave kept saying, "You should make him Spanish. You should make him Spanish." And Dave does legitimately talk like that. He recorded some short podfics and stuff. And I kept being like, "I can't do a Spanish accent. I can do a Mexican accent." Because I can do what you're hearing there is basically, it's like a gruffer version of my Ricardo Montalban impression, which isn't that good an impression, but it's still fairly good. And Dave kept bugging us about it, like mostly as like a joke. So I ended up re-recording some of Slytherin's dialogue in like a 2-minute scene and edited it together in like 10 minutes. And I said, "See here, it doesn't sound right." And he's like, "Dude, that sounds perfect." And I'm like, "You're kidding." He's like, "No, that sounds, you sound fucking Spanish. That should be his voice." And so I was like, "Huh?" And I didn't hate it. So then I clipped that same scene out in the edited version and sent them both to Matt and was like, "We can go back and change this if you want, you know." And we talked about it and we were really 50-50 on whether we should do it. Like, even though, like, I was going to charge him extra to do it, I was still like, "I don't know whether we should do this." And then we were both, like, maybe 60% in favor. And so then we ended up doing it. And, it was definitely the right call. Salazar's so much better of a character this way. I can't hear you for whatever reason, Matt. Try bouncing out and in. I think so. I mean, that's a very fair question when I'm fucking rambling. There you are. What part? Okay. Let me know. I'll pause and save while we're rolling. Okay. JK rolling. This is pick up.
It's a branch of soul magic. It's a branch of soul magic. It involves separating a piece of a person's soul to anchor them to the world when they would otherwise die. And then, whatever he made in the way Horcrux is anchoring him here, Salazar said. He would have to be destroyed before Riddle can be killed.
How could I find it?
Casting the person revealing charm might locate it once you are close enough. The charm is derived from soul magic and may well identify a fragment of a person's soul as well as the whole thing. Salazar stroked his chin with one hand and the head of his... Salazar stroked his chin with one hand and the head of his snake with the other. These items will be very dangerous. A soul fragment, if brought into close proximity, could theoretically affect... A soul fragment, if brought into close proximity, could theoretically affect those around it. No. Could theoretic, could theoretically affect those around it in all manner of ways.
Harry's eye drifted to the clean patch of stone near the maw of the basilisk's corpse.
All manner of ways, huh? Like showing memories, absorbing life, and casting magic.
Use that from the old, it was better. And could it possess one? Someone was old, was better in the old.
I believe it could in the right circumstances, Salazar replied. But I have little practical experience with this aspect of soul magic. Why?
When I slew your basilisk, it had been unleashed on the school by a girl possessed by a shade of Tom Riddle.
The shade was connected to a diary, and was only destroyed when I stabbed it with a basilisk fang. It was a horcrux. A grim certainty settled on Harry. But if I destroyed it, does that mean Riddle is finally dead?
That may very well have been a horcrux. What else did the diary do?
It wrote back if you wrote in it. It showed me his memories. And it tried to drain the life from Ginny to become real again.
Horcrux or not, that was certainly no ordinary enchanted book, Salazar said. It is possible Tom Riddle created something different with similar effects, but it sounds like the diary contained a soul fragment.
Someone needs to know. I have to tell Professor Dumbledore, Harry said. I gave him the book after leaving the chamber. What if it's not completely destroyed? What if it's not completely destroyed?
That's technically inaccurate. I don't know if you care. That could easily be part of your canon, but the diary did not stay with Dumbledore. It's because he gave it back to Lucius when he gave Dobby the sock. Specifically with the idea that the diary was at this point a completely mundane object. But he says, I have to tell Professor Dumbledore, I gave him the book after leaving the chamber. What if it's not completely destroyed? Yeah, so why is he saying he gave him... I mean, I guess it's true, but it's just misleading. Yeah, let me see. Oh, I'm crackly. Hang on. Okay, that should have helped. Like it would be. I mean, if I were Harry in this situation, I would say, like, I gave it back to Lucius. That's not good, right? You know, like that's, yeah. Okay, yeah.
I gave the book back to
Lucius.
I gave the book back to Lucius Malfoy. What if it's not completely destroyed?
I gave the book back to Lucius Malfoy. What if it's not completely destroyed? I gave the book back to Lucius Malfoy. What if it's not completely destroyed? Basilisk venom is an unnatural substance, designed to destroy both organic tissue and any magic it comes into contact with. Whatever that diary was, Horcrux or not, is destroyed. This Professor Dumbledore, he is the same one that taught Tom Riddle and defeated Grindelwald, a powerful dark wizard. Yes, he's recognized as the most powerful living wizard.
What? Oh, okay.
He is the same one that taught Tom Riddle and defeated Grindelwald, the powerful wizard.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it was because it's like, I thought the last clause was referring to Grindelwald, but obviously the last clause was referring to Dumbledore because that flows into the next sentence. Yeah, okay.
Yes, he's recognized as the most powerful living wizard. If he's as powerful and knowledgeable as Tom Riddle feared and you believe, then I've little doubt he knows exactly what the diary was. Harry shook his head. He would have told me. Well, he would have told someone in the ministry. We'd have seen something happen.
We'd have, Athena. We'd have. It's how British people talk, you fuck! We'd have is a thing! Well, you have now! I will mention, Athena, that the clip of Innocence Pritchard from Alexandra Quick that I posted in my server yesterday, the word traumatized in the text is written like this. It's not meant as a legitimate spelling. It's just a written out dialect, like O. Henry did or something. Traumatized. Anyway.
Salazar stroked his chin. Perhaps, but it seems he hasn't. I can't help but wonder why. There's still much that we don't know. He might not have realized. But he always knows every year. I turn into Molly Weasley. But he always knows. Every year. Harry scowled. Dumbledore suggested we use the time turner.
Should that be Dumbledore suggested that the time turner be used, or we use the time turner to save? Sir, I asked you a question.
Dumbledore suggested we use the time turner to save Sirius and Buckbeak. Fawkes came to help with the basilisk, and Dumbledore found me before the... And Dumbledore found me before the Mirror of Erised twice.
and Dumbledore found me before the Mirror of Erised twice.
It doesn't matter, Salazar said. We've no real proof he ever created one, just a stack of notes on the subject. Read through them, and perhaps we'll learn something. Albus Dumbledore will have his reasons for keeping this a secret. It's possible he intends to quietly destroy the other anchor, and wishes to ensure Riddle does not suspect Riddle does not suspect anything.
And Trelawney made that stupid prophecy about him rising again, so he can't have died during second year. There has to be another anchoring Horcrux. There has to be another anchoring Horcrux, Harry said. The diary was destroyed by the basilisk venom, so there has to be another one somewhere.
The Horcrux will be well hidden and hoarded.
I'm surprised he left the notes.
Tom Riddle was the last of his family, Salazar murmured. Not only is this place well protected by the basilisk, but many wards. It was as much a sanctuary to him as it is to you now. Salazar sighed, and his eyes darkened. Tom Riddle's hubris was born in this room, and it grew to consume him, amongst other things. He would have never believed I might find a more suitable heir than him, even if some other blood relative came here. So he likely expects my Chamber of Secrets to be his for as long as he lives.
Dumbledore must be searching for the other Horcrux, Harry said. That must be why he's not said anything.
Or he's already found the anchor and is searching for a way to destroy it, and confirmation it is the only. Or he's already found the anchor and is searching for a way to destroy it, and confirmation it is the only one. And he's searching for a way to destroy it, and confirmation it is the only one. It's unlikely there are more than a few. The side effects of soul magic are not something to lightly risk.
He didn't look human. The crimson eyes, slit nostrils, pale face, and smoke-black spirit of Voldemort flashed through Harry's mind. Barely human at all. What kind of effects?
The soul is a reflection of many things, Salazar said. I studied this subject in an attempt to create an artifact as the one my daughter and I searched for. I swiftly gave up when I realized I didn't have enough of my lifetime left to master such magic.
When I saw him in first year, he looked inhuman.
Voldemort, for it seems there's little left of Tom, appears to have severely damaged his soul. Whether that's a result of you reflecting his killing curse, or just the effect of his deeds upon himself, I do not know.
Is his soul weaker?
A soul doesn't have strength in some way. It is the essence of yourself. Your body has strength. Your magic has power. Your mind has its intellect and will.
But this soul is little more than a... But this soul is little more than a reflection. But this soul is little more than a reflection. You die if your soul's link to your body is severed, and souls can be... And souls can be used as the base of magic. But their act... But their action is passive. A soul exists and changes. A soul exists and changes, nothing more. The magics of the soul are separated into two branches. The larger, spells such as the revealing spell, which make use of the existence of the soul, but do not interact with it. And the smaller, true soul magic, such as the killing curse, that which actually touches the essence of yourself.
Am I... What? No. What the fuck? The last three paragraphs... Okay. Okay.
Can you make sure in the future that you have the correct text in front of me?
Dave is here. Well, Dave's not in the call, but. Okay. Whoop paragraph P. The soul is a reflection of many things, Salazar said. Christ Jesus. It's fine. I can read it from this. Okay. Okay, that line was the same. Yeah, it's just the last two lines that are different. Okay. No. Oh, here we go. Okay.
Voldemort, where it seemed that this is pickup. Voldemort, for it seems there's little left of Tom, appears to have severely damaged himself, changed himself. I would imagine it is the result of however you create Horcruxes. Salazar shuddered. It would require a truly terrible desire to live. No less than an act of absolute selfishness would be powerful enough to fuel such magic, likely inflicting the very thing the Creator wishes to escape on another to save himself. Likely inflicting the very thing the Creator wishes to escape on another to save himself. Is his soul weaker? A soul doesn't have strength in such a simple way. It's the essence of yourself, your intentions in all things, great and small, and everything associated to them. Your body has strength, your magic has power, your mind has its intellect and its will. The soul is that bit more... The soul is that little bit more behind them. Any soul magic is cast upon your own consciousness and the magic itself. Something not to be undertaken lightly, Harry. So true soul magic's another very abstract, powerful kind of magic. Like blood magic. The mediums your intent and magic
Like blood magic, but the medium's your intent and magic itself. End of chapter 17.
Save that.